Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. And I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag share and tell someone that Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to discuss the topic, City in Crisis. Is the population explosion we're seeing here in Fort Worth coming with growing pains? Growing pains in the form of increasing crime, a need for mass transit, gentrification, failing schools, a shortage of police officers and 911 operators, a new homeless population, a need for affordable housing, inflatable property values, increase in property taxes, and so much more. With almost a million people in this city, are we in crisis, and should we push the panic button? If so, who do we call, and how do they fix it? That's what we're talking about tonight, y'all. And listen, I got a great panel. On the panel tonight, we got Elizabeth Roper. If y'all don't know her, y'all, she's the little white lady that has the buzz cut. And she always goes down to city council, and she gives them hell, and then she cracks a joke at the end and walks off. If you haven't seen her, look out for her. Also, we have Pastor Alcee Chris, very smart man. I've been on the panel many times, pastor and author. Next, we have Adrian Smith, been on the panel many times. You will know him from running for District 3 City Council seat in this last election. And last but not least, we're supposed to have Mr. Wayman Brown on the line tonight. Wayman has also run for City Council in the City of Fort Worth in District 5. So if you're on the phone line and you're one of my panelists, I'm going to need you to press 1 now so that I can find you on the phone board. I see Pastor Chris. Good evening, Pastor Chris. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. I see Elizabeth Roper and Adrian. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing this evening?
Wonderful.
Great.
Great.
Really well, really well.
Do you all agree with me that the city is technically in crisis right now, even though nobody's officially said it? Do you all agree that we're technically in crisis with this population boom? Anybody
yes.
that wants to change? You agree, mm-hmm. Pastor Chris?
Yes, we're in crisis.
I agree too.
You agree too. Okay. You know, the thing is, it didn't hit me until I saw somebody post it on Facebook, and I thought to myself, you know, they're absolutely right. We're growing so fast, and everybody's thinking that's a good thing. But at the same time, if the city is not prepared for the growth, then, of course, you're going to hit a train wreck at some point. And I think we're almost there because everything is starting to feel really tight, and everything is kind of busting at the seams, if you will. So let's start talking about, good evening, Wayman. Let's start talking about some of the...
Good evening.
Good evening. Let's start talking about some of the things. You know, first of all, we're now known as the 12th largest city in the country, almost a million people, but it doesn't seem like the city was prepared for the growth. What should the city have done when they saw the numbers increasing at the rate that they were? Is there anything that the city should have done to prepare itself for the growth? We'll start with you, Elizabeth.
I think the main problem that this city is going to have, not just with its citizens, but with PR for this city and with promoting this city as a tourist destination, whatever, is we do not have adequate public transportation for anybody for doing anything. And I really, really think that's a shame. I think it's something that, I mean, we should have been working on all along. I think if there was something I was really bothered about that is just really obvious, and it's not like I need to talk about systemic racism or these kind of, you know, socioeconomic problems, whatever. I don't care who you are. It just is a blight on this city that we don't have adequate public transportation.
I agree. Pastor Chris, should the city have done more to prepare as they saw the numbers increasing the way they were?
Yes, they should have, but I'm not sure if they expected the growth to pick up like it did. We were already having issues with, you know, police and violence and stuff, and then the exodus and us gaining so many more citizens. I just think, let's say, it snuck up on them.
Wow. But you would think it was somebody's job to track that and pay attention to, you know, the numbers are increasing with the census. You know, there should have been indicators or projections, I would think, of something like that.
Well, you know, they might have been, but I'm just putting it all back into COVID fault. Mm-hmm. You know, it shut down a lot of industries, and a lot of people saw Fort Worth as a place, you know, they could come here and expand. And I just think they got caught off guard because, really, you know, we were fighting with the COVID and everything. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying I do see that, you know, it just kind of snuck up on them when they were dealing with the COVID situation.
Adrian, do you think do you think we can blame it all on COVID, or do you think that somebody missed watching the numbers and preparing for the increase?
I would say that when I think about the overall growth of Fort Worth, I would always look at the northern sector of Fort Worth. When Alliance was beginning to do its development phase, and a lot of businesses were making their home base in Alliance, it was like I think they took it for granted, because once the businesses started coming in, they wanted to develop around those various companies with homes, and I think they focused. I just think they dropped the ball in that aspect as far as the growth expectations. That's why we have such a cluster going north and coming out of north when you're trying to, navigate through Fort Worth. But I think as far as the overall growth, I think it started with within the city management, the city's management. Considering we are sitting on a $2.4 billion shortfall, it's like they wanted to continue to paint this pretty picture of growth, but all the while this shortfall was festering. That just happened just to pop out of nowhere.
I agree. Wayman Brown, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a person that studies patterns. Okay. And let me take y'all back down this pattern. Okay, you go back to the Civil Rights Act '64. It now engages in 1965. It takes hold. People are starting moving around. People are getting placed in neighborhoods. Children are being bused to neighborhoods. And white flight now takes over. Now, for those who don't understand, white flight means that when they start integrating neighborhoods, integrating schools, minorities start moving into those communities. And the white people were like, well, we can't fight city government. What we going to do? We're going to leave, and we're going to move out in the country, or we're going to move further away from the city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, you start seeing an influx of people that didn't – basically, just what we're seeing now. Again, this ain't the first time this record been played. This ain't the first time this movie been shown. So when you know that and you've looked at it, the very same thing that went on then when I was a kid, we doing again right now, and that is you have an influx of people that are coming in again. Mm-hmm. Because when the white people left, when they left Eastwood, when they left Crowley, when they left Hanley, when they left Meadowbrook, you see where I'm going? When they left Riverside, when they left all of these areas, they had an influx of people that came in, and those people said, well, if they're forcing my kids to go here because of integration and they shut down what was in our community, it's going to be easier for us instead of busing, because nobody really wants their kids. I grew up in a time you could walk your kids to school. So, and people were used to doing that in their community. So what did the people do? Well, let me find a house over where my kid goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us right back up to this woman writing that letter to Donald Trump saying, can you do something about these Mexican kids over here in my community or going to my school and they speak in Spanish, but it was your government that forced them people to go to your school that opened the door for that opportunity to for them to move into your community, and now you complaining about something that was done over 30 years ago that they didn't have no say-so about? So Fort Worth saw what was coming, but they want to limit where they develop. It's not that they didn't see this coming. They want to limit what they got coming. So now watch this. Prior to Alliance, nobody said nothing because nobody really knew. Man, they was building City View right there behind Euland.
Right.
You done popped up another subdivision of Fort Worth. and got businesses around it, dealerships around it, new homes around it. They now they done extended out from that. They got Chisholm Trail now. And see, now all of that, they trying to get a guideline back down through downtown and down through the cultural district over there off of university. So them people, so the white folks can still have where to spend their money. You know, they got Dickies Arena, but you don't, you don't see them spending no money like that. Like Adrian said, you don't see what they doing on the north side. Now, when we talking fur north, out there by Keller, I'm talking about the north side, Diamond Hill. Again, where you had white flight. Mm-hmm. When that all happened, all of a sudden, all the development stopped. But
wow.
You getting them same tax dollars. You getting them same tax dollars that was being spent by the Caucasian people that lived in them communities. That same kind of money is coming out of them black and brown houses. But they stopped the development for them. And now they're taking that development where those people are not. When there's so much viable real estate around us. Again, I keep saying it. I had a multi-billion-dollar corporation over here in Eastwood, a company that they now have out in Alliance, a company called Galderma Laboratories. It's a Nestle corporation, multi-billion-dollar corporation. Instead of building around what we had already in the community where people out of the community were working there, they said, nah, because a lot of them people come out of Alcon. They said, we want to move it out here where no one is. And city council even said this themselves in 2019. We're going to build around that compound. So now you got all of them people. And guess what? All of those people are not Texas residents. A lot of those people have been flown in, driven in, train ride in, bus in. They coming from other states to work here. Meanwhile, you got companies that are cutting jobs, cutting people's retirement, and then forcing them to retire by saying, well, look, you've been here 15 years. We're going to have to send you to Wyoming. Yeah. Now you got them. Now you done got somebody way out in Wyoming. Next thing you know, 3 months later, they done cut your job title. You stuck out in Wyoming. So Fort Worth know what they're doing. You know, again, it's always been a good old boy town. That's what they think they're going to get to keep. But this ain't 1964 no more. So
it's really not.
We're seeing with our eyes open, and we're addressing these issues, and we're attacking it on all fronts. We're hitting it on all fronts. We're going to our city government. We need to start hitting up Greg Abbott. You know, we need to let ask Nicole, Nicole Collier, who else do we need to talk to, you know, to get out what we're trying to get done, because we will no longer be excluded. Because go ahead.
But you know, with the fact that, you know, Fort Worth is woke. I mean, well, I'm not going to say everybody's woke, but a large percentage of people are waking up in Fort Worth. And we said, well, now we said, y'all don't say I said it, but it was said that y'all were going to flip Fort Worth downtown, and it got pretty much flipped from the mayor's seat,
right.
Which, you know, she decided not to seek re-election. And we know District 3, Byrd ran for mayor and did not win, so Crane took that seat. And then we know in District 6, I believe that is, or who was District 6? That was
Dr. Jared Williams.
Jungus Jordan. Right, that was Jungus Jordan. And now Jared
That's
Williams
right.
has taken his seat because he beat Jungus. And we know 7 was Singleton. He decided not to seek re-election, so now that is Firestone. We know 8, Kelly Ellen Gray, did not win her re-election, so now we have Chris Nettles. And I think 9 was Ann Zeta, who ran for mayor, and she's now she did not win as mayor. And so now I think it's Elizabeth Beck that's over there. So we have a pretty much almost totally different face on our leadership downtown. So with that said, it could be a really good thing or it could be a really scary thing depending upon how quickly they pick up their job titles and how committed they are to doing what they said they were going to do when they were campaigning. So is it a good thing that we have that many new faces downtown? You know, can we trust everything they told us that they were going to do on the campaign trail? Is that a good thing that there are that many seats that changed over? That's a total of six. Or did we put too many new people in at one time?
It really, I think it really doesn't matter who's in that seat. What it's going to come down to is, will they make amendments to the policies and procedures of how they all have always been doing business? One of the things we talked about yesterday, and we had Quentin Phillips on the phone, and we were talking about the ISD, and it Brother Ricky Harris had brought it up. He said, hey, brother, we love you, but I'm going to put it to you like this. I don't care what you told us during your campaign. I don't even care what you're saying on this call. Only thing that matters to us is how you vote.
And I agree. I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that because, you know, we really need to, in my opinion, as they're getting, you know, positioned in their new positions, we need to come to the table immediately with this is what we need from you. We don't need to allow the old way to continue. We need to ask them for a restructuring of the way they're doing business down there. Elizabeth, would you agree with that?
I do, yeah. And, man, that is the burning question. Is it too much new blood or is it a good change? And it's just, I'm just going to have to stay nervous until I see what happens. You know, I was so excited that Dr. Jared took District 6. You know, I was really, really interested in his campaign from the beginning. And, man, I just about saw that as a miracle when I saw that he had won our district. And, you know, in my mind the whole time I'm thinking, well, you know, it's going to be different than what we had. And I was real tired, and a lot of people I know that live around me, we were real tired of what we had. So, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And I am excited, but I'm also apprehensive about it, you know, because he's young. I mean, he's 31. But I'm excited. I'm excited. It's going to be different. You know, I may have a whole new set of problems to complain about now, but at least it's not the same one, you know.
True. Now, this is true. This is true. You know, Adrian Smith, you ran over in District 3. We see now six new council seats, and I understand the city secretary is leaving at the end of the month. All of that saying, is it odd that so many people are leaving at the same time, or is something else going on too?
Well, I said to the latter part of your question, it's possible that, you know, it's something else that's brewing downtown. But, you know, we, like you say, it's a wait and see because, you know, things are coming out for what they are. And thank the Most High God for people that's taking the time and, you know, the necessary effort to expose some of this stuff. As far as the new blood, I would say we just give it a chance, you know, give it a chance. And you said something to me earlier regarding the back and forth we was having in messaging that it's up to us. We got to hold them accountable. We got to hold ourselves accountable because a lot of, we voted in these various districts for these individuals. So we got to hold ourselves accountable according to how we chose to use our vote. We got to hold them accountable for the things that they said that they hope to aspire to bring about. But we also got to be mindful of the influences that they're going to be faced with because we know that a lot of those recent incumbents that are gone now, they were sitting in those seats for the last several years. What kind of relationships they build, this, that, or the other, and those influences are still, I'm pretty sure, still festering down in City Hall. So they might say, "Well, this is how we do it down here, and you don't want to do it like this. We vote this way because you know, trying to tell a new council member this is how we normally do it to further along the process. You know, trying to keep them from thinking for themselves and asking questions and questioning things. And I think another thing is what I'm looking for the new council representatives are what are you going to bring to the council for change? You know, what ideas are you going to pose to present to the people so we can know, hey, I'm trying to get this done, but they are trying to, you know, stifle it, this, that, or the other. I tried to propose this, but they didn't want this to happen. You know, that's the kind of change I want to see, not just like the brother said. He said they talk to the ISD member. We just want to know how you vote. Well, your vote is important, but I want to know also what are you putting on the table to say, hey, can we try to implement this, you know, these changes, this, that, or the other? You know, just try to shake it up a little bit.
I agree. Pastor Chris, you know, Adrian just made a good point. So, you know, we know how the old way went. And so if the new people are coming in, let's just call them rookies, if you will, are there people behind the scenes that are really going to be running the show? And because they know these people, for the most part, don't know what they're doing until they get out of that learning curve? Or can we expect that these people are really voting as they really feel, or is somebody behind the scenes pulling the string?
I think it seems to me that there are some leadership that is dealing with the newer people. But, you know, let me go back to the question you asked about, is there anything going on in Fort Worth? And I think, you know, just from my perspective, I think you can say yes. You know, as quiet as it's kept, you know, they said, okay, we have a $2 billion shortfall?
Yeah.
2.4.
2.4. Okay, why are we just not hearing about that?
That's good.
I mean,
with all due respect, and I'm gonna say this because you know she said it to me. Kelly Ellen Gray told me that was a lie. She said that the city of Fort Worth is sovereign. And my response to her was that this particular Truth in Accounting, a nonprofit that did this audit, does it in all 50 states, does it on a federal level, and they mm-hmm. also do it in 75 cities. And she still said that the report was a lie. And that Fort Worth was sovereign.
My thing is this. You notice during the 2019 campaign, and it wasn't as much during this one, but the buzzword then was transparency.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your books, because if you really want to be transparent, man, you know I'm going to dig in them with a short shovel. Look here.
Uh-oh.
How you going to have your city able to have two sets of books, and one of them is in cash? Now, this ain't something that we made up. This was the information given to us.
Right.
So you already running the hustle. You got a set of books that you can show, and you got a set of books to where you know where all this other money went.
Wow.
You know, so now, see, everybody, and now they want to try to talk like everything is good, the city's doing all right. You know why? Because they got another bond package that they want.
Oh. Right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
I can guarantee you, watch this, Fitzgerald's appeal is about to come into effect in these next 2 years. And, I mean, he's already won the appeal, but the effects of the evidence that was found is now about to be exposed. So a lot of them people that did not want to reclaim them seats or didn't seem to campaign as hard, they were like rats jumping off an unbalanced ship. They know it's going down. They know somebody's going to have to account for this. David Cook, your days is numbered. Chopper, your days is numbered. Now, it goes back now to our mayor-elect. Because she knows where the closet is and where all the bodies buried. She worked with the master criminal herself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then add on to that, you know, they still haven't dealt with a Tatiana Jefferson. They still haven't dealt with Fitzgerald. And I'm like, Wayman, I believe that the bottom has fallen out. That's why people are getting out. You know, we haven't talked about, you know, we haven't talked about Panther Island Project. What happened with all that? What happened, you know? All of the stuff that's been going on, I just think it's the bottom's getting ready to fall out, and people are saying, hey, I had a part in that, but I'm not going to be in office or be a part of nothing you know, because they're getting ready to really open up the books and let us see what was really going on. That's just my perspective of how, why they're jumping ship.
So
thank
you,
Wayne.
And where is... Do you think the $2.4 billion is connected to so many of the older ones who have been there like a really long time, all of a sudden, you know, not winning their seats again, not really appearing to really campaign or retiring or whatever because they know something is coming?
Of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know the people of Fort Worth do not know that there is a class action lawsuit being filed against the city?
No, for what?
Yeah. There's a class action lawsuit being filed against the city of Fort Worth because in 1975, the city was given X amount of money to redo all of the plumbing within the city limits of Fort Worth. We're talking about 1975. So they were supposed to change all that cast iron, all them clay pipes, all of that stuff was supposed to be removed from every structure in the city of Fort Worth. Commercial
including
and residential,
right?
Including the schools, commercial and residential. Tell me how. Tell me why that never happened.
Oh wow! Oh wow!
Where did the money go?
What they doing with the money?
Come on now! You don't think all these folks is getting these businesses jump started and going? But they only have a select few people. Now, if I'm a person in office. And I know there's a job shortage in my city, and I own a business. Hey, I'm Wayman Brown. I represent District 5. This is my company. Now, what I'm looking for out of my district are qualified people or those who are willing to train to fill positions X, Y, and Z in this company. Together, I think we can build a better city. We can build a better community, and it's going to help us with anything else that we need to be self-sustaining. Why ain't nobody
you
done that?
You just did a campaign speech. Wait. I'm sorry. What was the end of what you just said? I got confused with that. What that sounded like to me. But go ahead. What did you just say at the end of that?
We got people that are sitting on our city council. We got people sitting on the school board. That these people have independent businesses that are ran not only through the city, but they ran through the school board, and no, they're not advertising for any of and you know it's a job shortage. But these people are not advertising for people in their communities or in their districts to come work for their companies.
Okay. Yeah.
How dirty the water get yours? I know how dirty the water get.
We are out here. You know, I understand that Mayor Price had an investment group, and I understand that all the city council, or the majority of the city council, or all of the city council, the old ones anyway, were part of the investment group. I wish Tonya Carter to call in tonight, because she could tell y'all more about that. That's something I heard on Como Action News. I'm not sure how she came
come
about
on,
that. Tonya. I want to hear about it, but she said there's an investment group that Mayor Price was heading. Has anybody else heard about that investment group?
Well, that was supposed to have been the one that was helping her with Panther Island. And some investors pulled out. See, Deborah was hitting on that during Deborah's campaign. Panther Island is still struggling.
You recall Panther Island had that conflict with that congressperson son,
yes,
supposedly being part making decisions or so the government basically said the government basically left said y'all figure it out because y'all doing some dirty down there and we don't want our names on none of those checks that y'all trying to cash, so y'all figure it out.
Well,
I have a question, though.
Go ahead.
Regarding what you stated regarding city council persons having, you know, businesses and being part of the city council, isn't there like a – and I'm just trying to get an understanding. Isn't there like a conflict? Can you sit on the city council and promote your, you know – just promote your business, you know, and, you know, try to, can you do that? How does that
work?
Well,
you don't have to promote it through city council. You can promote it just like a regular business person.
Mm. Okay.
See, y'all were talking about that Panther Island issue. You know, the taxpayers have already put $102 million into that project already. And I think they say in 2019 that bond election, the voters approved almost $250 million to finance the rising cost of the project. So we're
what
in,
voters?
Like, really deep already.
What vote?
On Panther.
I ain't vote for that. I didn't vote for that.
That's what somebody said. It wasn't the voters, the council, but the article said the voters. Okay, but maybe he meant the city council voters because
Well, see, that's again that's that backdoor dealing that's been going on. You know, hey, as long as I've been in Fort Worth, you got certain people in there. And again, if you look on the front, I got my copy stored away. But when you run, they give you a packet. And in that packet, it says these are the rules and regulations. And also on that packet, they give you from when the city council first started, they give you the dates of when any amendments had been made to change the policies, the rules, and procedures. Mm-hmm. And I do know one of those was that the mayor will tell you there are certain things you cannot tell your constituents. And I'm looking at, why not? If it's something that, tell me when the last time we got to vote on the police chief.
Oh.
But see, that's something that's supposed to happen. I don't care how much they like him, how long they've been knowing him, how much a good old boy they think he is. That is something that the people are supposed to vote on.
I did not even know that. I thought that was like a mayor and a city manager. Because, you know, we're under the city manager form of the government here in Fort Worth. I thought that that was a decision they made. They never said that the people had a right to speak on that.
No, because remember, we voted for Fitz. We voted to get Fitzgerald in. That's the process. They're circumventing the process.
I didn't remember them asking people to vote on that.
They should. Because that's not an appointed position. That is a voted on position. You have your candidates. You narrow it down to three or four candidates. After you narrow it down, it's up to the people to go in, just like we hire any other government official. I mean, city official.
Well, let me throw a question out there, y'all. You know, Fitzgerald, they say, has won like one or two of those appeals already. What happens if he wins and he stays and he wants his job back? Does that mean Noakes has got to go and they got to put Fitzgerald back in? Or do you all believe that they're just going to pay Fitzgerald a huge amount of money just for him to go away?
I think they pay the money.
I think they'll pay him to go away, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my question is this.
They don't want him here.
Why would you want to go back into
That's
a hostile
right.
environment?
Why would
True
you
that.
Want to do what?
Yeah. Go
why
back
would,
into, it, yeah, go back into the fire.
Yeah, why would he want to come back into a hostile environment when he already knows it's corrupt?
Right.
You know what?
I can't
really answer that one because I'm like confused myself because I would have taken the settlement and gone somewhere else. But I don't know. Maybe he likes Fort Worth. Maybe he settled here. Maybe his family is here, and you know he wants to stay. But I think you know if they put him back in there, they'll only find a reason to fire him. So I think he's
mm-hmm.
putting under stress himself.
I think he's just setting himself up for the big payoff, acting like I want to come back, I want my job back, but y'all don't want me back, so let's negotiate this.
I'm thinking from what I'm seeing, it appears he's not so much looking for the job back, but he wants to have the access to those files that they fired him right before he was about to get in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had an inside track.
those files have probably been so corrupted by now and re-edited and audited. And, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, they've been doctored by now.
But unless you got your hands on that original flash drive. Now,
wow.
Mind you, if somebody start coming up missing. Because.
Wow.
These people are not above that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
You got to think. Fort Worth is like they used to do in England when they had problems. And what they used to do, they used to send their worst. I always say this. America is the home of the greed, land of the slave.
Oh.
And what I mean by that, when America was formed, England would send their worst. They would send their rapists, their murderers, their killers, their robbers, their burglars. They would punish them and send all of them over to the Americas. And they would have them to do labor, slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you got a certain amount of them over here, some of the British said, hey, man, look, this land is for the taking. We can do this. And they started recruiting those very people that they sent over here out of Europe. Hence, that's where we get the police.
Hmm.
Because now you got people that don't know the terrain. You've been here a little longer than them, but we're going to give you a little authority over them. So this is the system that we are going to continue to run. Now that we got this system running, and trust me, as long as there's been governments, there's always been corruption.
Always.
So, you know, it ain't nothing, again, ain't nothing new under the sun. Julius Caesar even had corruption in his court. So where we see all of this corruption, it's just been building. But I've always said technology has now caught up to history.
I agree with that.
Technology has caught up to history, meaning everything they used to say, well, if you put it in a book, they won't read it. Well, they ain't got to read books no more because we got a technical generation of millennials. They'll pull it up and research it.
Mm-hmm.
They fact-check you now.
That's
so
true.
When you're getting fact-checked and you're finding out, you go back, you can see every treaty that the American government has ever made with anybody, they never honored it. And that's documented. So when we start talking about the direction of where these cities are going, I hope the new group in there, I hope they say, look, we got to tear this thing down and build it from the floor up. I really hope so. But again.
I'm going to throw something out there before we go to the phone line. You know, just thinking about the $2.4 billion shortfall that Tremont County says exists, if you're that far in the hole and you pick up the 2022 bond and you add that to the debt and then you're not proper. Okay, somebody's got an echo. Is that someone's echo? And so if you add that to the debt, then at some point, would it be just easier for the city to file bankruptcy and then not have to, you know, I mean, if they say they're broke, then your pension doesn't get paid. So I'm just saying, when you're at $2.4 billion, that's a hard and a long ways to catch up from. And so where do you go when you're about to add a 2022 bond to that? The debt is just incredible. So I'm just wondering, at some point, does the city go broke and not be able to fund their pensions and anything else, you know, with already being this far in the hole? But y'all, that's something to think about. We're going to go to the phone line. 314-381, thank you for holding so long. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Carrie, hi. Good evening, 314-381.
Well, how you doing, Carrie?
I'm
hey,
good.
Look, I don't live in Fort Worth, but the things I hear people saying is similar to what I've seen in other places. And I can talk to you about St. Louis. Back in the 60s, you talk about white flight, blacks fled also. They fled North St. Louis into an area which you are aware and familiar with the name Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And after 2014 riots around Mike Brown, them same blacks fled again. They gone out into St. Charles County, which is 99% population white with all white police officers.
Mm.
So people do those things. But in Fort Worth, if you over $1 billion in debt, well, I don't blame people for fleeing. Check this out. People done that in New York, and New York tried to tax them as they were leaving. Say, no, you ain't running. We're going to make you pay some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it went any place. Mm-hmm. But that comes from people not holding their governments accountable. That's what happens. You put a dog in the meat house, he ain't going to be going over there eating pork chops. He's going to go be looking for filet mignon. Because he want to high up on the totem pole. But I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's another thing. It's a lot of those new people coming in, also immigrants, especially coming across the border.
That's a good question.
And the thing that gets me with that, now you got to have schools and programs to teach them how to speak English, whereas black kids is still speaking Ebonics. That's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that kind of gets me. But people let that shit happen.
I'll say this while you're speaking of schools. We're going to talk about that coming up next, where we got schools here, like the ninth graders are reading on the third grade level, and the schools are just like failing in everything, math, science, social studies, I mean, getting failing grades. So, you know, where are tax dollars going if they're not teaching the students? I mean, we're paying people that are supposed to be teaching the students.
That still goes back to the parents, Carrie. You see, parents supposed to control that, what their children are taught, and if their children are not being taught what they should be taught. That's the parents and the people. You can't leave it up to them teachers. You know, the school teachers union control a lot of that, and all they want is more money for their teachers so they can pay more dues. The president of your teachers union, I bet they make close to $200,000 a year. Yeah, so that's got to go back to the people, too.
But again,
it goes
People.
He said it goes to the people, to the taxpayer. You think there was a time when parents used to hold the school board accountable and parents set the tone for what I teach in my home? This is where I expect you to pick it up and go further with it when I send my child to school. They don't do that anymore.
No.
You know, I understand there's so much going on in these schools now to where I used to be a monitor for the Fort Worth ISD. And one of the things they did, they had what was called a quote-unquote prevention specialist. Basically, you had a psychiatrist at each school. And they were supposed to be they didn't have enough, so they had one for me. They had one for boys, one for girls, a man and a woman. Well, the district said, instead of putting one at each school, let's just hire a man and a woman, and we'll put those two people, say, over three schools.
Wow.
So you're still not meeting the need, even though you have the money to pay for a prevention specialist per school. So you done already start skimming off the top. They playing the Las Vegas game on us. We're going to let you come in the house and gamble, but we're going to cheat you when we get back here to the count room.
Wow.
You still get the prevention specialist. They're just only going to be here from this to this. They got them hours. They didn't have them big red hours. They didn't work 9 to 5. They might be there 2 hours on Monday. Then they'll be at another school. They're going to be there 2 hours that day. But their home school, they're going to be there 4 hours that day.
Wow.
So that's another way that you skim.
But see, this is where I'm at on that Forward ISD stuff. You know, I don't have any children, and I've had my house for like 20 years, and I've been paying Forward ISD taxes since I had the house. And so my thing is, what am I getting in exchange for what I'm paying for? Because if you got schools that are failing at an F grade, then, I mean, I'm sorry, somebody owes me a refund because I have gotten nothing for what I'm paying into. I mean, there's no way Morningside Middle School should get away with allowing children to come out of that school who cannot read or are reading at a third grade level and the whole school basically receiving an F grade. That's totally unacceptable. And I really feel like y'all talking about protesting. I feel like protesting ISD and tell them I want my money back. Because, there shouldn't be a school in the city that has an F grade.
Well,
and they have a
Morningside used to be one of those affluent sides of town again. You got to think about that. Morningside used to be one of those affluent side of town to where it was one of the most prestigious schools in Fort Worth. Rosemont used to be the same way.
Wow.
And now that minorities have taken – minorities moved into those communities. They started going to those schools, and the curriculums were starting to be cut. You know, now – they talk about defunding the police. Well, y'all talking about the police like, well, if we take some of the money from here and put it there, this will help this program. Well, you defunded everything else that we had. We had schools, every one of them. When kids went to high school, by the time you were in the 10th grade, you were being sought after for a job by the time you were a senior, and some people working as a junior. Why? We had programs in schools that prepared you for skilled jobs. Even they were setting you up for corporate jobs, depending on the course you took, typing and all that stuff. Now, they have defunded those programs. No wood shop, no metal shop, no small engine repair, no sewing classes. Home ec has been cut down. We had a class called CIVA, and what that was, it taught you how to run a home as well as run a business. Showed you all the things that you can do in a home, you can do outside. If you sew in a home, you can sew in a business. If you cook in a home, you can cook in a business. If you repair something in a home, you can repair it for a business. They cut all of those programs out of every school, and then they wondering why these kids don't want to work. Man, I used to work for $3.25 an hour when minimum wage was $2.15.
But the problem with this is when you're bringing these kids out, I mean, everybody's not going to go to college. We accept that. But when you're bringing them out and they can't even read and they can't do math and they don't understand social studies or science or anything else, then they're not even prepared to go into the workforce either. So,
they had programs for that, though, Carrie. They had programs for kids that were falling through the cracks.
What I'm talking about today, first of all, a company's not going to want to come here when they don't have a good workforce to come to. I was in the mortgage industry for a long time. Real estate agents, when you're somebody who has a family, children, small children, or children that are school age at all, they're steering people to houses in good school districts. So all of this is an issue. Who's that
to
just
go to Fort Worth ISD? And I live by, I could have sent them to Wyatt. I could have sent them to Dunbar. I could have sent them to Eastern Hill based on the district I'm in. And guess what? Pascal is now also an open enrollment, but you got to get on the list. So,
Pastor Chris, don't you do some type of subbing?
Yes. My oldest son was supposed to go to Pascal, but he didn't go. But you do. I remember I had to go in the auditorium of the gymnasium of the school to get in line to get him registered.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah.
What are you seeing in the schools today, though? Are they really that far behind?
Yes. I think, you know, because Fort Worth ISD decided to go virtual, you know, some kids can do it, but a lot of them can't. You know, they don't understand unless their parents understand it and can teach them. You know, they just get left behind.
Oh, now, watch this. When my in 2009, my youngest son, he was going to private school all the way up to then. He said he wanted to get out the uniform. He wanted to go somewhere else. I wind up making a decision between sending him to Grace Prep or sending him to Richland, which is 13 miles straight up 820. Richland in the Burrville ISD is an open enrollment school. Now, they had already been teaching online with their students back in 2009 because I had a problem with, I said, hey, he has a phone, but if he pull that phone out, y'all call me and I'll deal with him and I'll take that phone. Every teacher, Mr. Brown, no. We don't do that. What we do here, our curriculum is online, and we allow our students to go online and work from that curriculum. I said, but what about when they're in class? They can still do it in class. They work at a pace to where when they finish one project, they go to the next one. It's almost like what we used to have. It was an accelerated reader program. You do your regular schoolwork. When you finish that, you jump on to the next. You finish that, and you go up, and it will show your teacher what progress you had or where you may need help. They took that out of school. But when you go into these affluent schools, man, they got so much stuff. They've been having STEM programs since 2014.
I didn't go to Fort Worth ISD, but one thing we did was every year there was an achievement test that everybody had to take, and that kind of assessed where you were. And so they just had to pretty much tell mid-school year, based on your achievement test scores, where you were and where you needed improvement at. So some kind of way, we're giving Fort Worth ISD all these tax dollars, but we're not getting anything in return. If we're not able to see our children succeed once they come out of high school based on the education that they're getting here, I think we need to, stop the check. I mean, for real, we need to cut the cord and make somebody accountable for what they're doing with the tax dollars if they're not teaching the students. You agree with that, Adrian?
Hey, I would say that as far as the what's going on within the Forest ISD, not to take anything from what anybody else has said, I would say that this learning curve that's going on, it's been ongoing. I don't think it just started with the 19 pandemic. With our kids switching to from in person to virtual, because you also have to factor in a lot of them still don't have access to it even with the virtual. A lot of the communities were without the virtual access because of the communities. You know, they could, a lot of parents can't afford the necessary tools to provide this for their kids. And then we have to also remember that a lot of our kids in our communities, all the other influences, they have their attention. See, like your caller stated, that I think anything that they have taken away from us, that's a community thing, because like you said, we paying taxes, so we're not vocal about what they're taking, then they'll just continue to take. And I also think that if our kids can get on our phones or get on any type of device and interact through social media means and do all kinds of stuff they be doing and this, that, other, they can take that same type of energy and do their lesson. You know what I'm saying? But, again, I think it's been a failure on the parents' part, not just the parents, because a lot of parents, they're up against it. But I say the community as a whole, because it's a lot of us within the community that we see the problem, we know the problem, we dissected the problem, but we're not even taking our time and effort to help with the problem. So the teachers in our community, they have a big task, a big undertaking, and I think the PTA for so long has been forgotten about. You know, nobody talks about the PTA. Mm-hmm. Nobody involves themselves in parent, teacher, anything concerning the school, only when it's time for awards or, you know, the little holiday programs, everybody's showing up for the awards, blah, blah, blah. Or let's not forget about the sporting events. Oh, we put so much time and effort in sports that we forgot to tell our young boys and young girls, hey, you might not get to that level of being this athlete or this entertainer. Let's focus on you becoming successful in your everyday life. You know, even if you don't go to school, the trade school opportunities, you know, the various. So we have tools at our disposal that we just stop using, and it's just continuing to push us further and further away from, you know, what it is we need to be trying to achieve.
You know, I agree,
the sports are a good thing, and I think, you know, it gives balance, but at the same time, we got to spend more time on academics. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, I love to see people go to the Olympics, and I think that's a great thing, but at the same time, if you go to the Olympics and you can't come back and read, or you can't read that check that somebody's giving you, and so you're going to get beat out of it because you don't understand the basic math skills, then we got something wrong, and we need to fix it. And I've never been to a PTA meeting, but I plan to go to one soon because I want to understand what I'm missing, that we got kids who can't read, don't know how to count, can't tell time, can't write a check, but they're graduating mm-hmm. them out of these schools. Something's wrong. And
well,
that's going to affect
this issue, and I'm going to call a name. Mm-mm. Toby Jackson ran against Chad McCarty in 2019. Chad McCarty was a principal for 9 years at mm-hmm. Eastern Hills High School. So he knew firsthand all of the things that needed to be done to help bring not only those numbers up, because, again, all of his stuff, everything that these teachers do, all this stuff is documented, and the numbers that they had and what the school was getting and wasn't getting. Now, Adrian said something that was striking the nail on the head. The access to those extracurricular learning tools. Mm-hmm. Toby Jackson has a business. Remember I talked about that, said people in city council and school got businesses. Toby Jackson has a business mm-hmm. that her and her husband are the two main shareholders. The Fort Worth ISD pays her $785,000 a year to use her curriculum. But that curriculum is not in every school in the Fort Worth Independent School District.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you have a program that only certain schools get, but you're a school board member, but it's not privy to every school? That's another buzzword they were talking about in 19, was they talked about equality, but they never talked about equity.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you know what?
How can you have programs in Keller, but I won't even say Keller. How can you have programs over here in Saginaw that are bleeding off of Fort Worth dollars, but that same program isn't offered in Fort Worth Independent School District? Because remember, I know a lot of us remember Dunbar used to have the number one magnet program in the state.
I agree. You listen, it's so much not making sense. The curriculum, that I don't know what curriculum you're talking about, but I know Common Core, a lot of people felt like came in and dumbed down the students.
Yep.
Pastor Chris, are y'all teaching Common Core in the schools or that curriculum, or what curriculum are they on?
I don't really know. You know, I was at a It was a school that was not in the hood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really don't know what curriculum, but I noticed that all the teachers had the same curriculum, all of us, regardless of what we were. I was a science teacher, so, you know, all of us had on the computer. We all the classes were laid out. You just had to teach them.
Gotcha. Mm. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Our topic tonight is city in crisis. Is the population explosion we're seeing here in Fort Worth causing growing pains that need to be addressed? With nearly a million people, was Fort Worth prepared for the growth, or are they passing the burden on to the citizens? We're going to go back to the phone lines. And if you have a question or comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981. Then press 1 once connected. That's 516-387-1981. Then press 1 once connected. If you're listening via the computer, the number is at the top right of your screen. We're going to go to 469-759. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 469-759. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me?
We can.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Oh, great. I'm Obawale L. I'm one of the I'm one of the two surviving members of the Friends of Cobb Park, and you know we dealt with Fort Worth ISD for several years, and we were responsible for bringing about the African American infusion curriculum that is on the chopping block because of the anti-race theory project is going through the Congress right now. But I just want to say first and foremost, we had heard from the State Department of Education, Sajay Miller, who's the head of Rocketship, which is the online curriculum organization, in working with mm-hmm. Generation Uplift, in which I'm a director of, and Lisa McDaniel, who's over Little Lisa's Learning Center. We've got the approval mm-hmm. to put up a brick-and-mortar charter school here in South 6. Just got that information last night. So I just wanted to put that out there. Still in the planning process, but we just got the permission to do that. I don't know how many people know now that Jack A., Dunbar Middle, mm-hmm. has been. This school starts back. It's going to be a charter school, and there are mm-hmm. several other communities that are going to be turned into charter schools. Fort Worth ISD has a long history of pulling resources out of Stop 6, and the surrounding communities of Southeast Fort Worth, and the very mm-hmm. other areas of the district. They have a long history of doing that. I can remember they had a school bond election where they had voted to approve $70 million to build a new, help me, Wayman, you know what school I'm talking about, the Young Men's YMLA. Yeah, they were supposed to get a brand new building. There were $70 million voted and approved from the city of Fort Worth to build this facility. The location they had selected, contaminated, they cannot build there. So therefore, mm-hmm. they chose to do something different. But the law says that when you have a school bond that has been approved through election, that if it cannot be approved, if it cannot be performed to the letter of the wording of that bond, it is null mm-hmm. and void.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No one is holding Fort Worth ISD accountable for any of their misdeeds. All of the applied mm-hmm. learning centers, those are schools that Fort Worth ISD has turned over to Texas Wesleyan College. They're not in the business of educating our children. They have never been. They're in the business of accumulating finances for themselves. I'm just putting it out there. I have long been proponent that we need to take charge of educating our own children. The worst thing that the black community has ever done is fall privy to that fallacy of integration. We have never been successfully integrated into that community. why are we still trusting these individuals to miseducate our children? But the problem is everybody is too busy doing everything else rather than paying attention to what's going on down there in Fort Worth. For years, it took years for us going down to school board meetings and fighting, and we didn't have that big a following while we were down there arguing with the school board. And of a truth, when it came down to the final approval, a lot of the white trustees wanted to pass the proposal that we had made, but it was three individuals who were all black who stood in the way of doing this and decided to let the district develop their own curriculum, you know, for the African-American studies program. And in doing so, they turned a lot of that work over to the a lot of Hispanic educators for TCU.
Mm-hmm.
And they just diverted all the attention after we had went through, you know, trying to put everything together, you know, and everything having to be watered down so it can be acceptable to the white folks. I'm just putting it out there. If somebody don't like it, just let me know, and I'll try to change it a little bit. But after all that, then the attention has turned to the Latinx curriculum, right? Whereas in my original thoughts, all that is a part of history, and we wanted to know true history. The history of the black person that every different racial group on this planet. Human history is black history. Black history is human history. All these other groups are just attempts to divert the attention away from black folks. They had never had any intention to properly educate us. In my research, I found out in 1968 they had a very good, very viable curriculum for black studies.
Yep.
They were just sitting in somebody's desk. They just never decided to pull the trigger. They had another one in 72 and another one in 74.
Well, you seem to be very knowledgeable on this ISD thing, and I appreciate your wow, chiming in tonight. So what should the parents be doing if Morningside is over there with an F grade? What should the city be doing? They're not just going to put it all on the parents, because taxpayers are funding Fort Worth ISD's, all of the schools. So what should we as a community be doing if Morningside is over there with an F grade in math and social studies and science and English, reading, everything? What should we be doing?
You know, there is a blues singer from the days gone by that had a song, and I remember there was a stanza in that song that touched my spirit, and I still remember to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I'm talking about is Billie Holiday, and the stanza in that song says, "Bless a child that has a song."
Wow.
Let white folks take care of white folks' business, and we go on about the business of educating our children.
Yep.
We need to stop letting the white folks hold our children back. We have natural geniuses in our community, and the genius is being overlooked because of something as silly as racial prejudice. Let them go on. We need to build up our own community. God
yep.
bless the child that has his own. And as long as we keep running around with our heads cut up, the white man's behind, talking about, "Mr. Charlie, please do this for me," we're going to always be in the same position we are right now. We don't
yep.
need it. Right now, we don't need it. COVID was an opportunity for all of us to understand that we can educate our children at home if need be.
Yep.
I had been in the process working with other organizations, putting together an online curriculum that we can utilize that will continue to teach true education to our children. They're not teaching our kids. They're just holding them long enough so they can draw a paycheck and pay off their student loans. They're not educating our kids. They're afraid of them. You're not going to put your best into somebody that you're afraid of. You can tell how
brother,
they treat our children in the street. Shoot them down like
brother,
you, know, you know, following around the stores. I mean, they do not treat them like human beings. So then we'll never receive a quality education from individuals like that. So we should stop fooling ourselves and thinking that it's possible and go about the business of creating a situation, an educational platform where we can educate our own children. That's why Asians look how well they're, you know.
Do you
and there's plenty of it. That's what the Italians do. That's what the Jews do. Why are we the stupid individuals who still think that Jesus Christ got blonde hair and blue eyes?
Right.
But you know what? If the truth be known, I'm going to pose this question to Elizabeth. If this were a white area, let's just say a school in a white area, what do you think the parents in the white area would do if they found out that the school over there had failing grades in all subjects, just an overall F grade? What do you think the community would do?
I'll tell you what's going on in my community. I live in Wedgwood, and my property, I literally back up to West Creek Elementary School.
Yeah.
It has a failing grade. It has a failing grade. It is a terrible, I mean, and it has for years. It is a traditionally terrible place to send your child to school. I mean, it, and I'm like you, Carrie. I don't have any kids. Shoot, I don't even have nieces and nephews, and I'm paying throughout the wazoo for this. They send their kids to private school, I guess, because guess what? I looked this up before the show because I thought we would be talking about the schools, and 94% of the kids at West Creek Elementary School are minority children. So those aren't Wedgwood children. You know, I mean, now, you know, in my little block I live on, you know, it's not as white as a Tanglewood street, you know, but it's definitely not 94% minority. And so I would imagine they're sending their children to private schools because they sure aren't sending them to the public ones around here. And they're also, they're taking the time to camp out to go to Paschal or to go to Lily B. Clayton or to these other schools that have open enrollment, you know. They've got the time on their hands to do that. They do whatever they can, if they can do anything, to get them out of here. And I think that's just, it's just sad, man, that given the advantage, they won't improve what's for everybody. They'll go off to the private school. But, you know, what do I know?
Yep.
I've got a cat. I don't have any children. But, yeah, I tell you what, I can just be on my way to the grocery store, and I'll just think about that school, and it will eat my lunch all the way to the grocery store. But, well, I don't understand why they're doing it. So, really, it is. It's something that bothers me, even though I don't have children. And, you know, I know if I had children, they would be going to school there because I don't have the dollar to, you know, to do anything else about it. But, man,
this is evidence to me.
But see, one of the things, Brother Obawale, Pastor Chris, and myself, we're all in that same generation. We're all 1 or 2 years old from each other. And one of the things that we had in our communities, we had those extra courses, I guess you would call them that, or those things where you would fall in the crack. We had those in our community. We had them at the Bethlehem Center. You could even get them from your local church because they would have summer school at your local church.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let me ask you this.
But again,
well,
those are resources that the city cut.
Okay, so is there any way then, since they have proven and have a track record now that we can say, listen, you've proven that you're not going to do this right, is there any way that we could then take some of the funding that Fort Worth ISD is getting to then set up our own kind of schools?
Not from the ISD, we can't.
Say what?
Not from them.
Well, but I can't charter schools get money from the school district?
Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
from the state book.
I think you can establish your educational, you know, type structure or you know, facility or curriculum, you know, I guess you could say to compete with the Forest ISD, because that's what a lot of these these schools are coming in now. The Ideal is the big one now. You know, Ideal, it's the big one. And they popping up everywhere. And when Ideal takes over a property, when they purchase a property, they waste no time developing it. So you got these, what y'all say, these charter schools, I guess, that are coming in or whatnot, and they are basically, it's a competition now. It's like, hey, we want your kids. Y'all not, and if my understanding, I'm not for certain, but I think the education, I think kids are doing a whole lot better at these newer facilities, you know. But then again, you have to also incorporate that. I don't think those are overpopulated, overcrowded either, you know, because I think that has an effect on education as well, you know, the class sizes, you know. That's why I say our teachers within our community needs the community's help, you know. They really need the community's help. And, you know, like I said, they've taken a lot away, but again, we control the
We're losing you, Adrian.
Yeah, we're losing you, Adrian. Okay, something going on with him. Well, some kind of way we're losing you.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Adrian?
I'm sorry. You know what that means?
You good?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I said we control what's going on within our communities as well as within our schools. So I think we just have to just like all those people came out about this, what you call it, they had going on the last couple of days that's been going on with this curriculum.
June,
they're trying
June,
to.
June.
Not Juneteenth. Not Juneteenth. The
critical.
What they're trying to implement in the schools. Critical thinking. You see
how
all those people came out and. So I think we can use that same energy and effort and put it back into. We need to get back to the basics. Like you said, Kerry, you said you were speaking mostly on reading. If you cannot read, you cannot comprehend. If you cannot comprehend, you cannot function in society. Reading, when I was coming up, they used to focus on reading, writing, arithmetic, right? So if you cannot read, you can't comprehend. You cannot comprehend without reading. So we have to get back to the basics.
Hey, you know, we actually had a program that was designed for kids that were a year or two back, right? It was called Accelerated High School. It was right over there on Magnolia. It was right behind Trimble Tech High School. And what they did, they took kids anywhere from 14 to 18 years old. And it was two floors. Now, what this curriculum was designed to do for kids who were a grade and a half or two grades back, you could go to that school for 1 year and they would work with you to catch you up to where you could be on the proper reading grade. You could start comprehending the math. Everybody's not trigonometry. Some may just get algebra. But they were able to put those kids back on track and then put those kids in their designated district high schools.
Mm-hmm.
They did that for 2 years. They saw the program work. And they shut that joker down.
Okay. We're going to revamp the school issue. This is a promise. We're going to come back. Because Forward Dicey, you got some answering to do. I mean, we're definitely going to come back and revisit this topic. I promise y'all that. Listen, y'all, another thing that's a major issue is this crime in the city. There has been an uptick in crime in Fort Worth. And it seems like the victims are getting younger. The suspects are getting younger. A situation over there at Hurricane Harbor, somebody got killed the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw a child got killed at Eastern Hills, and then there was another shooting a week later at Eastern Hills. And the violence is getting, it's getting more and more frequent. I mean, to the point that it doesn't seem like our police department has a handle on it. Should we be looking at conflict resolution as a way to help? I guess balance out what the police cannot handle, or should we be doing something else to get a handle on the crime? Because it doesn't seem like we're doing too good. What are y'all's thoughts on that? Crime increasing in Fort Worth.
Well, you know, I just have to say a lot of it has to do with parents and the morals, you know, that we have allowed to kind of gestate in our community.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But you know what?
You know, I mean, the police,
I would agree.
Has COVID played a role? Because it's like after, you know, they lifted this stay-at-home thing, it's like it became the Wild Wild West. And so is it something in the atmosphere? Is it atmospheric? Does got everybody going crazy and everybody's just shooting instead of talking? I mean, what happened? Anybody?
A lot of that has to do with, I don't know if you guys are familiar with chemtrails.
Yep.
Yes.
Remember, mm-hmm. we used to always mm-hmm. see them jets flying overhead,
yep.
and you would look up and you would say, oh, man, look at that jet, look at that stream, but it would only be in certain parts of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you would see this rise in crime.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, it's something biological because it's only affecting certain places.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it affects anywhere outside of, say again, Carrie?
Biological warfare?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you got to think, we've always been the test subject.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been the test subject, you know? And one of the things that I'm glad Miss Opal had brought to light was she was so adamant about when we were talking about jobs before. A couple of years ago, she said, look, I got X amount of acres with a community garden. If anybody that want to work, I'll pay you a fair wage, and I ain't talking about no $10 an hour either. If anybody want to work, you come work for me in that garden. But our kids have been programmed so much, like Adrian said, to other vices in the community that have enticed them away from the moral standard that used to be in a house. And I'm not talking about just because you may have had a mother and a father in the house, because I came up in a single-parent home. But I knew there was some things my mama just wouldn't stand for. You know, and my mom was 6'3", but by the time I was 14 years old, I was 6'5".
Wow.
And it was some things that, hey, she let me know, you might be taller than me, but I'll bring you down real quick, brother. And she never had no problems out of me because I know she meant business. You got parents now that they want to go to the club with their kids. You know, they want to go out on the weekend partying with their kids. And I'm like, man, there's certain things you can and can't do with your children because – It's something as simple as a tattoo. My sons used to ask me about it all the time when they were growing up. I said, look, man, I haven't got any tattoos. And this when they were young. I said, I haven't got any tattoos because I see how y'all look at me. And there's some things that I know I can't do around y'all because y'all going to come back at me and say, well, you got it. And they didn't comprehend the fact that, but I'm a grown man. They just seen this some daddy got. But when I got my first tattoo, I was 48 years old. My oldest son was 18.
But see, is this school issue connected to the uptick in crime and the fact that the suspects are younger? Because if you can't read, if you can't count, if you can't, I mean, you know, do all these things that you're supposed to learn in school, I mean, what are you going to do but get out there and get into trouble? I mean, it's almost like the prison pipeline, because if you don't give them an education or a way to go and at least make a living for themselves, because at least they can read or they can do simple math, if they can't even do that, they're going to be forced to get out in the street and either hustle or commit some type of crime of some sort. And so I think it's all connected, the school, the crime, the mm-hmm. fact that they're much younger committing the crimes, something's up. And so what does our police department do?
To me, it's the result of social engineering because corporations have, you know, that they've made the bulk of their wealth by by employing individuals to do menial tasks or menial lower level tasks and paying them almost no, you know, basic wages.
Yeah.
They don't want to destroy that, because if they have a educated workforce, they're going to do the same as what the unions do. They're going to organize. They're going to ask for more wages, and the corporations do not want to do that. So they pay individuals or make sure individuals are compensated to keep the status quo the way it is. We were talking about city politics.
Wow.
And Pastor Chris, you can back me up on this. The mayor had a task force. I mean, whenever something pop off in the black community, she would call together a select gathering of black pastors in which they were all paid a stipend. And they received one specific, and there was one specific message that was always given: keep the black folks quiet.
Yep.
I mean, you know,
this is
it may not be a written policy, but it's a policy that is just as old as the city of Fort Worth itself.
Mm-hmm.
And politics in relationship to dealing with different, you know, different races. There are unwritten things. So as long as we try to follow a paradigm that they set up, in which we have to know that the legal system, there was nothing about this country that was designed for us, the problems of slavery. Okay?
Well, remember when Devin
was running. So as long as we continue to follow behind their paradigm, we're going to continue to follow these things.
Parental engagement.
Our kids are not being parented.
Wow.
So they have no moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they pick up is what they go, and everything is projected toward, you know, the gun violence, because believe me, what they want to do, they want to enact. I know here in Texas, they said you can, you know, carry without having a permit or whatever.
A permit.
But the ultimate idea is gun control, because that's the same thing that the Nazis did before they took over Nazi Germany and started the Third Reich.
Yep.
When you remove the ability for the common man to protect himself, then domination and subjugation is the next step. And how they're trying to remove the press voter rights and all this type of thing. We're moving back to Jim Crow point 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want a population who's intelligent enough to see this coming and make preparations to prevent it.
Let me ask
Bottom
you
this. Line.
Did you work, Obwale, you worked at 14, correct?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Chris, you worked at 14,
I worked at 8.
Oh, you were
When
wrong,
I was 12, man. The city had a job program. When I was 6 years old,
12 or 13 when I was working, started working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you see the pattern again?
Well, in my hometown in Oklahoma, they had a summer jobs program. So at 12, I was able to go to work for that summer job program. And that really made a big difference in my life.
And that's one of the things that another program that they cut out. What's wrong with training a kid to work at Lockheed, General Motors, Bell Helicopter? What's wrong with having an intern to come in that summer? Because now you got, again, certain schools that will allow those kids to go in and get their internship and get paid for it. So why can't we start looking at those again? It's just the powers that be are not fighting for its people to receive those resources, because they are out there. I know so many different organizations. I hook up with the Black Chamber of Commerce on a regular basis. And every time I go up there, I ask Brother Darrell Brewer, say, man, give me another stack of those information packets that I can just start passing out in the community. Because it tells you they will pay you while learning to do your trade. That's how open the market is now. And we ain't talking about no $10, $15 an hour.
Now, when you say they,
we're talking about. I just saw something recently at the academy.
Say again?
When you say they, you're talking about who will pay you.
Hold on. What did you say, Carrie?
I said, when you say they will pay you to learn a skill, or who are we talking about? Who is they?
We're talking about the jobs that are listed on this sheet.
Oh.
Yes. So, and they tell you, we're going to pay you to learn how to do what you're going to be doing when you finish school. You're going mm-hmm. to get money for this now. And not only will you get money for this now, there's an incentive for you when you finish the program. So
wow.
basically, we're paying you to learn a job. And once you learn the job, you can go out there, and if you want to keep working for somebody, you can. But if you got enough in you to where you've learned enough and you want to take the business further than that, there's also programs out there that will help you do that.
Wow.
So,
hey,
we're going to have to get more information. Go ahead.
I just want to interject regarding parents, and I think another big issue that has succumbed our community is, you know, we got to think about generations. It's been generations of kids raising kids who themselves were not raised or parented because a lot of their parents were incarcerated, you know. So we had a lot of parents that were incarcerated over years who had kids. They weren't able to be there for their children. So when their children came up, it was the only person there was grandma. And grandma did, you know, thank God for grandmas, grandparents, because I think they are special. I think God gave them longevity for a reason because God sees things before they happen. So a lot of grandparents raised grandchildren, which in turn had children that didn't know nothing about parenting, and then their parents came home from incarceration, the relationships have been broken over generations. The relationships have been broken, and where there have been broken relationships, there has, you know, we don't have structured relationships, and we don't have the means for, you know, learning and teaching and, you know, growing and getting better and, you know, everything that comes with it. So we have a lot that has encompassed us over the years. But as far as the policing and, you know, things according to policing, something that came to my mind, we have a lot of gun shows here in Fort Worth. We have a lot of gun shows here in Fort Worth.
Yes, we do.
A thought that just came to my mind is, and I think I'm going to take myself up on this, I'm going to go to a gun show and just see who's coming in and out those doors, because I guarantee a lot of our young people who are at the age to where they can buy a weapon, I guarantee a lot of them are going to these gun shows purchasing weapons. Or is somebody in the community going to these gun shows purchasing weapons and bringing them back to the community and selling them to these young people? I guarantee.
I guarantee you
because they don't just have handguns. They have all types of assault rifles. So.
Oh, it's crazy. I went, I'm part of an organization called Grandmothers Against Violence. And so I went sort of undercover back in January to a gun show. And it was wackadoodle. It just made me sad. And there's a ton of young people there, people bringing in really tiny children. And these children are carrying around these toy guns that look like real guns. You know, you're not supposed to take photographs, but I took a lot of photographs to share with the grandmothers, you know. And I mean, it is a sobering thing. And I think that everybody that wants to talk about what the problem with toxic culture in Fort Worth is, one of the first things they should do is go to a gun show, because we are. Well, Betsy Price prides herself on it. I don't pride myself on it, but Fort Worth, you know, downtown, City Hall, they pride them. Oh, we are the gun show capital of the United States.
Yeah.
And, and the thing that really, really made me sick was that you could see that it was a type of family values for a lot of these people. And it was just this reverse, this hatred, this sickness. Oh, it was terrible. But, on that note, everybody go down and run to the gun show. But seriously, I think everyone should see that for themselves, because
that's an argument about the Second Amendment right.
Right. Absolutely.
And because, think about it, my family grew up in the country. And I learned how to handle a gun, you know, use a gun, when to use a gun, when to leave it alone. All that was learned by the time I was 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn that because, again, you got to think of it, you got to look at the timeline. I was born in the 60s. So for me to learn how to use a gun, and knowing what it was and how it worked and how to break it down, when you need to clean it and all that, it was a twofold thing. One, if it was for if you're hunting in the country, it was for food preservation. But then, two, the climate I was in 68, when Martin Luther King got killed, it had to now flip from preservation to self-protection. I didn't have to just know how to use it to get something to eat. I had to learn how to use it in case somebody kicked our door in, because we're a black family living in a white community, and these people are upset that we can afford to pay the mortgage.
Wow.
You know, so that's a whole culture shock.
Yeah, it's a real dilemma, because you're right. You're right. There is a purpose for having and using guns. There is. And I'm not saying taking away the Second Amendment. I'm not saying we need to stop having gun shows, period. I'm just saying, in my opinion, the way that it is being promoted, plus they sell, I mean, it is just, it's like a racist strip mall in there. It is just disgusting. And there's a way that they could do that. There's a way that they could do that that just wouldn't have the same implications and tones that it has now. You know, the types of guns that are available now are different than they were when I was a kid. I mean, I was born in the 60s, too. And, I mean, it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing, you know?
Well, see, look at this kid, Tekashi 6ix9ine. He just turned in He done turned in a whole game, right? He done started ratting everything. Now, you look at the rap culture from 1980 until, I guess you would say, late 1980s, when NWA first jumped on the scene. Okay, they may have been, you look at the first mainstream rap song was The Message by the Sugar Hill Gang. Broken Glass everywhere, people pissing on the station. Okay, they're talking about the average walk of life in the city of what they're doing. You went from that to having to fight the police, having to fight the rival gangs in your community, and then having to prove yourself in the streets, or quote-unquote get clout because of who you done shot. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this is being sent across the airwaves and put on TV. Come on now. And you got all of that going on, and you got a young kid. Again, that same kid that can't read, he can recite you every verse of that song, even throw his hands up as the sign of holding a gun and show you how that works.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me that Go ahead. Y'all know
what's
going on.
I'll be real brief. And I think the message in the policing got I think the message in being against the police got construed, because I think the message in the beginning was to be just to draw light to what the police were doing in our communities, you know, to our people.
Right.
But then somebody was able to infiltrate that message to turn it into we against the police, which in turn made the culture of F the police, which in turn makes it like we have a problem with the police when we need police. We just want better police accountability. I say with the gun culture, to contrast what you said compared to how you raised up, a lot of what they're doing with these guns nowadays, you said for protection, right? It was for protection back then. Nowadays, you got to think about the drug culture. You got people who got selling drugs out of a particular house. So somebody know they selling drugs. Oh, they making big money. What's the first thing the robbers going to do? We're going to kick the door in. So we're going to kick the door and commit a crime. We're going to do a robbery, possibly going to do a killing, because we want what's in this house, these drugs and this money, blah, blah, blah. So it is a cycle of unnecessary violence when guns, like you say, let's forget about the Second Amendment, because a lot of our people don't know about the Second Amendment. A lot of the young people don't know about the Second Amendment. They just, all they understand is it's something that it makes me into somebody that I don't even know who I am. I'm big, I'm powerful, I got things done, and all you're doing is continuing the cycle of violence of killing, which in turn is only going to, let me slow down. It only leaves you with two options. Either you're going to be dead or you're going to get incarcerated. So, they don't even understand what they are doing, but this desire to be a part of something, this desire and longing to be a part of something that is really, at the end of the day, meaningless is, you know, but again, we know what's going on in our communities. We see the problem. We know the problem. We dissected the problem, but we have to, you know, get at the problem. We have to be more active. We have to become more active as a community, you know, and just make things better. I know we can. We have breath. We have breath in our lungs. You know, we can do it.
You know, one of the things we do on my street.
Let me, you know, two more to the show because we're down to our last 15 minutes in the show. Two things I want to talk about real quick is the fact that these overinflated property values. I flipped a couple of properties. I flipped about six properties here in Fort Worth. Well, that's it. Some of the properties that I flipped were like $40,000 properties maybe, you know, back in the day. And now those properties are maybe $140,000. And so are we going to create a situation where we're going to have a new homeless because, with inflating these prices, that means that it's not going to be affordable housing anymore because if you're doing that, that's really creating a new poor because if you can't afford to have some place to stay, then you're going to have to be homeless. And so what are we really doing in terms of our areas like Como and Stop 6 and Riverside?
Yep.
Are we really creating a bubble that's going to burst with the way that they're doing it? Because if you're taking $40,000 houses and the city appraiser is saying that that house is now worth $140,000, then you're taxing people out of their homes in some cases. So where are we going with this?
They don't want to
Let me interject right quick. I think the big plan that we need to think about is that the dominant culture wants to move back into the quote unquote inner city and put the so called minority out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
So that's the big plan, and it can't just do it. It has to be a step by step process. Okay, I'm gonna tear this down in Stop 6. And I'm gonna put these condos at the cheapest one is $1,500 a month. So you know what that means that people who've been living there all their life, that you know it might be $30,000 or $40,000 home now becomes $150,000 home, and that increases your tax base. So what happens? That's just a way of indirectly just running people out of the community because they can't afford to live there.
Same song, different tempo.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you think.
Okay, yeah.
Remember when Crowley to us used to be the country?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now everybody moved out to Crowley. And remember, like I said, over here where I live in Eastwood, this used to be an all-white, no-black community. And when they start opening up those jobs, and get this, had transportation to take us from out here to those jobs, that's when the flip switch. Now, guess what? I'm 7 minutes from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think nobody would like to live right off the freeway but not hear the noise of the freeway?
Mm. Yeah.
I got a city morgue right across the street. We can walk dogs. We can rollerblade. We can jog, exercise. Little league teams come to play soccer and football practice. You don't think them people want to get that back? So everything that Pastor Chris said is identical truth. That's what they're doing.
Wow.
Because you tell me why property, like you just said, I know a property that was bought in Stop 6. A property was bought for $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was the house and the land that it's on.
Mm-hmm.
That property is $120,000 now.
Yeah, that sounds okay. Yep.
That's going to burst in a minute. You can't do that. Seriously. If somebody was
well, but you know what? But you know what, Carrie? You know, you got to think about the from the standpoint of all major cities. When people start moving into a city, property goes up because there's much more demand. And in other words, it's not going to come back down. Most of the times, it doesn't come back down. So it's just on a roller coaster ride to go up, I think.
But
well,
see,
remember
the housing bubble. If the value is not there, I tell you what happens in situations like that. If the value is not truly there, then eventually the person is upside down. And so at some point the person decides, well, you know what, I'm in this house, but this house ain't really worth 140. It's really worth more like 40. So I'm just going to leave. I'd rather go get me an apartment than pay three times the house.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But,
so,
the point being, remember, I want you to move because I want your property.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the end game. Y'all, let's talk about this
last. Yeah, because once they get the property, they can always tear the house down and build new.
Say what? You said tear down that house and build new.
What
were
you saying, Karis?
I said the last subject I want to talk on tonight is this this. Huh?
Go ahead, kid. Go ahead. What were you saying?
This is a Tatiana Jefferson situation. You know, where we at? Because, you know, we're talking about city in crisis is the topic tonight, and that trial is due to, you know, maybe possibly be in August. A lot of rumors are being circulated that it's not going to be favorable. The outcome that the people want is not necessarily what the people are going to get. What are we looking at, Fort Worth, if Aaron Dean does not get sentenced to like the 22.5 years that Derek Chauvin's got today? What are we looking at?
I think it's going to be a disappointed Fort Worth.
Okay. But you say that
someone explained. I think you talked to I think the attorney what's his name that you always have on, the brother of the attorney?
Leon Lee.
Gentleman out from Como. I think he broke it down like on one of your other shows. He stated how it's up to the DA to get the best prosecutors that she know. You know, they could. It's up to the DA to get the best prosecutors on his case. You know, like you said, it's certain prosecutors you put on certain cases because you know they gonna hammer it. They gonna make sure you know X, Y, Z. And then you got prosecutors you put on certain cases because you know they just gonna. He can better explain it than I can, but I think for one it's going to be in a national spotlight, and I think two it's going to be up to the justice system to get this right because he was wrong. That was reckless. That was uncalled for, you know. And
like I said, it was reckless.
The DA in Fort Worth is under a lot of pressure right now because if you say that Chauvin put his knee on him and some other officers, you know, basically, you know, killed George Floyd by putting their knee. They didn't shoot him. They just put their knee on him, and he died as a result of them putting too much pressure on his back and his neck. Well, that said, you're looking at a Tatiana Jefferson situation where she's in her house minding her own business, and somebody comes in her backyard, and in 3 minutes she's dead. So where does the DA in Fort Worth go after somebody like Chauvin just got 22.5 years? You know, so is August looking like a chip? Is August looking really tense for Fort Worth if they don't come back with something very serious for Aaron Dean?
Well, it depends on the charge that they're giving. Because remember, his was more of a negligence than an intention to kill, but it was more negligent. And just like Adrian said, it depends on how hard they hammer that prosecutor hammers that. Because you got to go back now and talk about his training, talk about what was he taught, why didn't he assess it different. All of those things got to come into play. Now, with Chauvin, his was done and charged more of malice. That's why he also had, he's still facing four federal charges.
That's right.
So when he spoke to the family, his lawyers told him, hey, man, you got to be real careful in what you say, and what if you say anything, keep it to a minimum, because what you say can and will be held against you because you got another trial. And that could add more time to these 22.5.
But see, if Aaron Dean, after, I mean, let's just say, like I said, right behind Chauvin, if they allow Aaron Dean to get a slap on the wrist or no jail time or something very minimal, don't you think that's going to cause Fort Worth to erupt? After the Chauvin trial, huh?
I think it will. I think it will with the climate of all the people who've been interested in this. Just, I think it will. And I'm going to just digress on it. I think it will.
Okay, I think so, too.
Let's say he gets the same thing Amber Geiger got.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Because this is in their mandate. Any officer that's prosecuted, they're only going to get anything between 10 and 15 years if they get that.
Right.
So the Chauvin case, that's paramount. It's only 5.5 years more than what they normally would give them. The prosecutors asked for 30, but they said, hey, we'll give him 22.5 because he got other charges pending. Now, will those other charges add up to those 30 years? Say they give him 7.5. That's going to be a 30-year stint, but it's not going to be for that particular case. Now, what happens if Dean only gets 10 years? Do you guys feel that the city would be satisfied with the 10 years?
The thing about the Amber Geiger deal that bothers me, and, you know, I mean, if you know me at all, you know I tend to be a little over the top. But I was yelling that very day about how she's going to end up with her show on Fox News. She's probably going to end up with a show on, like, TBN with Pat Robertson or something, because they put this whole spin on what happened in the courtroom, which I thought was really inappropriate after the sentencing. And I think that they put a media spin on that whole story that, to me, was rather disgusting, you know, and sort of just turned her into a nice girl at the end. And
that should have been handled in the chambers.
Yeah. I really hope it doesn't turn into something like that for real.
I agree.
But again,
you know,
they're saying,
That's the thing, is though, I think maybe they're going to hope that they had done Dean before now. Because after today, people are going to be looking for something very, very stern. And they're not going to be looking for probation or, you know, 5 years or anything like that. They're going to be looking for something very serious. And so I can definitely see things kind of going south. I can see things kind of going south if we aren't careful in August, if we're not careful. But, y'all, we got to get out of here tonight. Listen, thank you so much to my guest tonight. Y'all have been awesome tonight. This has been really
hey, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, real quick, before we go, real quick, everybody listening, big announcement coming soon regarding my desire for further service in the Fort Worth community. Big announcement coming soon. Everybody, hold fast. It's coming. I got to get some things in order, but it's coming. Thank you.
Yeah, it's coming, y'all. He said it's coming. Y'all, listen, thank you for listening, audience, for listening tonight. And on the 2nd of next month, that's July 2nd, we're going to talk about that bond package that one of our city council people is promising to come on and break down that bond package for us. So that's going to be very, very interesting. And we're going to revisit this ISD topic as soon as I'm able to submit a full request properly and get some more information about how many schools are actually failing in the ISD. So listen, y'all, until next time, same bad time, same bad channel,
Thank you all again so much for listening. I'll see you on the 2nd of July. Good night.
All right.
Okay,
Carrie. Good show.